Please put your phones on silence if you have not done so. And while you're doing that, I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Where it states, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. That is our God. That is just but one attribute of our God. We probably read this before, but it's worth repeating because it's good to be reminded of things. We also need to be reminded of how good God is. And also to be reminded that how holy God is, and that He is righteous, and that He is the one and only God who is worthy of genuine praise and love and worship. Signs of the end of the age. Now, for those of us who were here a few Sundays ago, I was able to do a lesson on signs. How relevant they are, how important they are, and here we are again. God is being so gracious to leave us a sign. Ooh, that is kind of tiny, isn't it? I'll work on that next time. We'll give everyone a magnifying glass. But I'll read for us. Jesus had left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to the buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. The saying, there's nothing new under the sun. Are there not wars going on right now as we speak? Is there not nations against nations? We see that. It is the evidence of what was written long ago. Continuing on. All these All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Be rest assured, brothers and sisters, we are all one day closer to that event. This event is coming. It's kind of like when God told Noah, prepare the ark for a great flood is coming. Well, they were working on the ark for 100 years. That was a long time in some circles. But they did wonderful things, the family of eight, and to build that ark. But the point being, the floods did come. And we wouldn't be here today if they didn't do what they did back then. So we praise God, again, for those who stand firm to the end. Now, we know that things within the world could be a lot better. There's no doubt. If everyone would turn to God, seek his way, do his will, the world would be a lot better. And I see a lot of heads agreeing with that. That's true. But where does that start with? With us. It starts with us. If you want the world to be better, you be better. Start with you. Smile! You got a lot of reason to be happy. The average number of earthquakes on Earth is approximately 55 earthquakes per day. Totaling around 20,000 earthquakes per year. You probably heard of the recent earthquakes that within 3 hours of each other. There was one in California, 5.6 on the Richter scale. Same day, again, within 3 hours. Japan had one of 6.9 on the Richter scale. And, of course, Venezuela, which was hit with what is called a doublet. I call it a double earthquake. Was one of 7.2 first, followed by a 7.5, just 39 seconds apart. If you've seen the news, you've seen how devastating that was. And they are going through a tremendous amount of turmoil right now. And so based on that, excuse me. Jerry, when you have the closing prayer, could we ask a special blessing on all that relief effort and recovery? Because God is still answering prayers to this day. Families are being pulled out of the rubble. We thank God for that. He continues to show his compassion. There are other problems encircling this planet as well. You probably are made aware that there's devastating wildfires. Not just a few acres, we're talking mega wildfires. Virginia's in a drought. Many places are in a drought. You also have seen this newscast about the hail out of nowhere. Hail the size of golf balls. Heavy downpours that leads to massive floods. And all of this that we may be experiencing is nothing new. It has been prophesied in the scripture for our learning and warning. Famines are happening today. As well as extreme wildfires. And in certain parts of the country, hailstones are still falling from time to time. Some would say that the earth is in agony. Disasters exist. It could be said that if you haven't personally experienced one, you will. As the saying goes, wait for it, wait for it. So for some of those who may not know, Virginia is not immune from earthquakes. Okay, it has happened here. And they were grateful that it wasn't as high as a 7 point whatever, because that is a significant earthquake. In Luke 13:1-5, we learn of another catastrophe that happened way back. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Catastrophes have been happening for a long time. Christ here has explained that those things, and in this instance, this happened to be at the tower. We don't know how tall it was. Maybe it fell from an earthquake. We don't know. But catastrophes happened. And not necessarily because there was some kind of greater sin than the rest of those who lived in Jerusalem. As Scripture states, we have all sinned and have fallen short. So the admonishment is to repent while we have a chance, before catastrophe happens to us that ends our life. And it's happened. It's still happening. There are many, I'm sure, in the time of Jesus' time, when they were walking around and then the tower fell on it, they may have thought, I got a long life ahead of me. We're going to do this tomorrow. We're going to do that tomorrow. And the next thing, we have this event that happened to them. And much, I'm sure, many Venezuelans have done the same thing. We make our plans and you just never know. And again, it's being re-emphasized. Still being emphasized. And we do find it that it comes, quote unquote, natural to pray during calamity or catastrophes, adversities, and other occasions. It seems that sometimes, well, let's read from the scripture, where James again tells us, "Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise." Okay, I'm going to take a moment here. Have you ever been happy in your life? And can you attribute that blessing from God's doing? Should we not sing? Sing. We can do it. God is not concerned if you're off key. No. He's not. What he's concerned about is your heart and the relationship that you have with him. You know, Kathy has been very patient with me for all these years. Earlier in our relationship, I would sing to her. And look, she's still here. But the point is, if you find yourself being blessed by God and you know that that came from him when he answered prayer on your behalf, whether it's to deliver you from a cancer prognosis or deliver you from a pulled muscle or delivered your daughter because we've asked for prayer, be thankful, be joyful, sing a song of praise. You could go into your car and just let it rip. Let it go. Praise him. Continue on in 14. Is anyone sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Again, for us to glean many things from this passage, but one I'd like to share for us that we could all do and should do. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. Okay? It goes two ways. I don't know if you ever read that. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. Probably the families that lost loved ones when the tower fell were praying. People prayed during times of calamity and stress. And people who never ever pray regularly now find themselves praying. If they are expecting prayer to work during crisis, they need to be aware that prayer works for all other times as well. Elijah was a man just like us. I'm glad that is in there for our learning. Just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain. And the earth produced its crops. Again, we see that prayer is powerful and effective. Prayer can and does change things. There may be some who believe that their prayers would not be listened to. And that's a genuine concern. Why would God listen to my prayers? Because they believe that they are not anyone what they might consider as special. Why would God listen to me? Would he really care? Does he care? I'm not special. I'm not a Jew. I'm not from the tribe, from any one of the tribes from Israel. Why would he listen to me? Matthew 8, 5 through... Oops. Here we go. Again, I'll try to do better on the display. Again, it reads, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Now, this could be your daughter. This could be your son. This could be anyone that you're concerned about in the same kind of manner, that you're wanting help from our Lord on their behalf. But they're in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, for those of us who've been in the military, we understand where he's coming from. We understand our responsibilities. We understand the rank structure. And so we can relate to the centurion. But again, the blessings were bestowed for the centurion, who was not an Israelite, as far as we know. A Gentile to the Israel nation at that time, where people tend to stay away from the Gentiles. Do we feel that we are treated the same way? God would not listen to us? Rest assured, he listens. But does he answer? Is the question. Let's continue reading the biblical text. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done as you have believed it would. And his servant was healed that very same hour. That is powerful. There were many Jews probably following Christ during this discourse, during this event between him and the centurion. They saw this. The centurion request was granted. Not because he was a Jew. Not because he was a person favored by the bloodline of the Israel nation, but because Christ was compassionate to him. And he has been and is compassionate to us. But we have something that the centurion never ever had. The blood sacrifice of our Savior. We have that. He was fortunate enough to talk to our Savior face to face. That is something we should all be looking forward to, because that day is coming. We will have that opportunity. It's coming. What shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I shall have mercy on whom I shall have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. When we consider what we just read and what we have witnessed in our own lives, we should have a greater appreciation of when God does consider our petitions and answer them, because he is merciful. This is what the gift of grace is all about. But he who genuinely loves the Lord will strive to please the Lord. It is written, faith without works is dead. James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Now, we have a great amount of examples of the what we call the faith heroes, if you will. Noah and his family was one of them. Abraham, et cetera, et cetera. But we see that it does matter, that your faith needs to be one of action. And we see that also in the example of the centurion. His faith was strong enough to compel him to go to the Savior himself. No greater faith in all of Israel is what Christ has said. Think about that. This is a nation who was looking forward to the Messiah coming. And there he was in the midst of them, living with them, going to the synagogues and teaching them, done many miracles. But nobody says here, no greater faith. Hope he finds that in us today. No greater faith. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is seen. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Momentary struggles, whether they're spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, from earthquakes to famine to illness to other catastrophes in our lives, they are momentary. You probably have heard this saying as well, for this too shall pass. What do we got to do? Wait for it. Wait for it. Whether that means you dig in, you pray and pray and pray, but you wait for it. You wait for his answer. You wait for his blessing. You wait for it. You do your part. You have to go to the Savior, just like the centurion did. Your faith cannot be one of wavering and of doubt. The centurion, let's look at his example. When he went to Christ, he said, just say the word and it will be done. What faith? What an example. What could we learn from that? Dear Lord, if you want this to pass, so be it. If you don't want it to pass, so be it. For whatever you decide to do is good. And we praise him. Should I dare sing to him for the outcome? Yes. We have example. Now, you know, for those of you who think that they can't sing, you've been singing in the shower for a long time, haven't you? But now you have a better reason to sing when you realize the goodness that God has provided unto you. For what is unseen by man is described in detail in Scripture. A new place is being prepared. This is one of those things that are unseen, but we know it exists because Scripture says in many, many, many times, in many ways, it's there. It's there. Heaven has mansions where we will dwell with Jesus. Heaven will be a city built for worship. Worship, not anything else. We are supposed to get ourselves ready for that. Worship 24/7. No weekends. 24/7. Worship. All nations and people will worship Jesus. Amen. The only one worthy of worship. Here's one we all like to hear. Heaven will be filled with peace, joy, and praise. Here's one. A great storm in heaven, and the Ark of the Covenant will be there. Revelation 11:19. And it reads, Revelation 11:19. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the Ark of the Covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. How about that? Earthquakes are, will be there too. But this earthquake is a demonstration of God's glory. A demonstration of God's glory and his power. Not to cause a catastrophe or to kill or to maim or hurt. That's what the earthquakes on earth do. The earthquake in heaven will be to glorify God. Jesus leads armies clothed in white on white horses. There'll be precious gemstones will adorn heaven. Heaven will have pearl gates and streets of gold. The tree of life is in heaven. I think that's what makes us, some of us, tree huggers. We know that all these things that we see here, that God has made, is by him, by his word, spoken word. Trees are one of them. And of course, this tree of life in heaven, it's got to be what we would call beautiful. Well, I can't comprehend, but it's going to be gorgeous. I'm going to try to hug that tree anyway. But the tree of life will be in heaven. And the light of God in heaven. Revelation 22:4-6, and I'll read. 4-5. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Does heaven sound like a place you would like to go? Yes. Here's a bonus. I don't know if you ever realize that. But when that time comes, you don't have to pack. I mean, all expenses have been paid. When you take a moment to realize what it cost our God and our Savior, to give you that opportunity, you understand that this trip is a once-in-a-lifetime trip. Is it worth preparing for? Oh, you bet. Is it worth changing your life? Oh, you bet. Is it worth putting Him first because He puts you first? And to consider, really, what does that mean? How is God glorified throughout your whole day? Not just part of your day. He gave you the whole day for you to glorify Him. So where are you at any part of the day? Is it some place where God would be pleased? Are you showing Him honor by what you see, what you hear, who you hang out with, what you don't do, what you could do? Remember, God is a jealous God. We all will have to give an answer why I didn't do this on your behalf when I could have. Jesus will remind you when you see Him that He does have the nail marks on His hands and His feet and His riven side. That's going to be a very sober meeting. And that's an understatement. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other. Brothers, you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of mercy and compassion. As the saying goes, all good things are worth the wait. We are all one day closer. Some are a lot closer than we know. James 4:14. In part, the scripture reads, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. What must I do to be saved? God is not the author of confusion. As we see, God is compassionate. He tells us in His word what we must do. Hear the gospel. Believe the gospel. That's the good news. The good news is that He will bring you into His fold. But we must repent of past sins. We must confess Christ as the Son of God, be buried with Christ in baptism, as we have example in Scripture, and we need then to continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Are you His servant? Does heaven sound like a place you would like to go? We have this opportunity now. If you need any prayers from the church, we would ask that you come forward as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.